He asked him, "What's thy name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I know a couple of psychiatrists I'd sure like to get that answer off the couch. And you don't talk this one out. "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Let's look at Matthew 26. Swish, swish, swish. Swish, swish. 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 See, the devil's got legions. But what about us poor saints when the devil's against us? Peter's about to fight for Jesus in the wrong place. Jesus says, "Put your sword away. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" I told you the other week about a kid that stopped me over in a college town, followed me around the bookstore, kept peering, threw me through the books. Finally, he shouted out to the girl at the cash register some religious book, if she knew anything about it. I guess, hoping that I would say, "Hey, well, I'll help you, son." That didn't get a rise out of me, so finally he worked up the nerves of him. "And dying to ask you, you believe all that stuff I hear you say on TV?" There are some real mean creatures running loose, folks. The devil is very real. He has some mean angels. But God's got some tougher ones that can be meaner on him. These are real beings. I'm in the business of demystifying spiritual things, demystifying God's book. But I'm not about to demystify this to some kind of spiritual nonsense that says they don't really exist. Or that other kind of nonsense that they don't have a body except they can get in yours. An over-attempt to equate demon spirits with the Holy Spirit. Man, those are mean-looking creatures that come out of the pit. And they got funny-looking bodies. And if they're going to fight, they don't need some soft, flabby, blubbery Christian. They got their own equipment. They can also move in on yours. You say, "How can you explain that?" I don't. I just want to keep him out of me. Let's go to Matthew 8. Swish, swish, swish. Swish, swish, swish. Verse. Swish. Swish. When he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" There was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he suffered them. He let them do it. Now this demon in Mark 5 has all the devils talking. And they say, send us, back to Mark now, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran down violently down a steep place in the sea. Those demons wouldn't even stay. Or the pigs wouldn't let them stay. And then human beings will let them stay. Pigs would rather kill themselves. Now let's look at the Luke rendition of it. 8th chapter of Luke. Swish, swish, swish. You know, I usually quote and move fast. But I'm showing us something today. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and went he forth to the land, and met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? Torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now, I've been in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelations talking about these demon spirits until some people who listen want to return to the simple little niceties of the Gospels. I'm in the simple little niceties of the Gospels. And the demons are there too. Pigs wouldn't live with them. He brake bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what's thy name? He said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Now, we get our word diabolical from diabolos, which is the Greek word for devil. There's only one devil. We get our word demon. It's a cognate of daimons, which is the Greek word for demon. This is demon, not devils. You can check any commentary you want. Because many demons were entered into him. You should change that word devils there. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. What is the deep? If you could read the Greek New Testament, you'd find one word, abyss. They besought him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. There's only one word in the Greek translated the deep, at other places translated the pit, and in the book of Revelation is translated the bottomless pit. But it's abyss, a mysterious place called the bottomless pit, called the pit, called the deep, and sometimes just simply called the abyss. There's only one word in the original. A place where God kept certain demons in prison. It's the place that the book of Revelation says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having a chain in his hand and the key to the bottomless pit. Abyss is the word. He laid hold on that old serpent, which is the dragon, the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Abyss is the word in the original. It's only one. These demons here in Luke chapter 8 are beseeching Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the bottomless pit, the abyss, the prison cell for demons. Some of them were there. We've already seen the book of Revelation. That star that falls early in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation will release out of the bottomless pit Abaddon, that general of demon spirits chained there. And those demon locusts that will come out of the smoke that comes out of the bottomless pit. You're already chained there. I've just quoted Revelation 20, where an angel will come down after the battle of Armageddon and will lay hold on Satan and bind him 1,000 years in that bottomless pit. After 1,000 years, he'll get out again. He won't get out. God will let him out. He will tempt once again, lead Gog and Magog into sin, and they will array themselves against Jerusalem as it has been built during the millennium. But this time, no battle of Armageddon. Fire from heaven will destroy them. It's the same abyss. One place where some of the fallen angels, demons, are chained. The devil's not there. A lot of his demons are not there. These, the legion of them, in this poor demoniac gathering, they weren't there. They didn't want to go there. Their greatest fear was that before their time, he would command them. And they knew. Don't ask me why. He doesn't command them to go before now. A respected program produced by the Catholic Church, Insight, periodically does humanistic views of God. One of their current productions puts God on trial. And they're going to ask him all kinds of questions, like wars and hunger and earthquakes and cancer, and why he lets it go on. Silly idiots. He lets it go on because he knows what he's doing and doesn't have to explain. Huh? And do you think an explanation will make hell any cooler? Who art thou, O man, that questioneth God? Job's heralded as the hero who never failed. Hogwash. Satan shows up in heaven and says, he's heir of the sons of God. And God says, you consider my servant Job? He's pretty good. He's a pretty good example of what I've been trying to accomplish. Ah, you got a hedge around him, God. You let me at him. He won't be such a shining, stellar performer. Go get him. Hedge drops. Everybody thinks Job came to the posture, though he slay me. Well, he didn't come to it without fault. The devil finally broke the old guy. And he did begin to question. Now, if anybody had a right to question, Job did. There is nobody save Jesus. Don't tell me about Joseph. Joseph is a close second, but he didn't go through what Job went through. Nobody suffered as much as Job. And finally, the poor old guy finally questioned. And God thunders at him, were you around when I, with my finger, laid out the mountains of this earth? Who art thou to question? Nobody. Yeah, yes, sir. That's the attitude God's trying to get. As my proverbial flea on the railroad track says, you're going too fast, you ding-blasted train! Splat! Oh, you're making too much noise for my little ears! Splat! Well, why do you let this rail shake like this? It's about to knock me off! Splat! Now, that was not a spiritual fit. It was a demonstration. God does what He wants. And He knows exactly what He's doing. Don't ask me why Jesus hasn't sent devils or Satan and all of his demons packing. He always had the authority. No prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. And some of these dummies that are making themselves God shallow teachers that are producing deliverers who would presume to alter God's plan of the universe and would teach you your throne rights in God and that you can put your foot on a devil and kick him around. Michael's been fighting the old rascal from the days the wars in heaven cast him out the first time. But when the body of Moses was at stake, Jude, that's New Testament, not Old Testament, Jude says, Michael durst not rail on Satan, but said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Now, if Michael knew there was boundaries, this miserable, low-down rat. I mean, here's Jesus about to fulfill the plan of God and bleary-eyed, banana-head Peter waking up when he had been told to pray and wouldn't pray. Oh, I'm going to save the church. He can't even hit a head with his sword. I hate to be dependent on his swordsmanship for my delivery. I have visions of Peter swinging that sword when I hear some people teach, poor simple-minded people, how to get power over the devil. Don't ever underestimate him. We have a nightly demonstration. I'm just curious, this is parenthetical. How many of you that were watching last Wednesday night saw the instant change when we finally broke the barrier and went over 300 and saw the same people pour it in with no effort when Satan's power was broken? People that don't watch and are not in the know and know nothing about real, genuine spiritual battle. I get the feeling sometimes as I see some funny guys in the church world out here fiddling around with somebody that's got about as much of the devil in them as polio victims used to have before Salt discovered his vaccine. I can remember when polio was of the devil. And old-timers used to cast the polio devil out of them. And by cracky, a scientist got a vaccine that run him out. We need to distinguish between genuine spiritual forces and verbalized nonsense. So here's a guy over here punching another. Come out of him! Well, they're having their little exercise. The devil's over here winning his battles. They're shadow boxing. And gullible crowds think they're seeing conflict. You want to see conflict? Turn the festival on. There's the real McCoy. There are times sitting in front of that camera that I have the sensation of a deep sea diver, where the pressure, as I know, like a magnifying glass, or I have almost a fantasy feeling of that ladder from Jacob when his head was pillowed on a rock and the angels were coming up and down to his spot, in that case, to edify him. Satan has that same power to bring to play all of his forces of oppression on just one man, if that man happens to be the key. That's why when there is a battle to be won, and one person is the one that God has spoken to, as long as they drag their feet, it's as though every demon of hell will focus on that one. And he'll feel lead in his veins and locked to his seat. And I'll sit there knowing that if I break under that pressure, there's a good chance it's all over. Not psychological pressure. That's the substance of demon force. And yet there are people capable of getting the oxygen tank to me, to carry the analogy, to sit there locked and just look on. But when we broke that power, as we've seen it happen again and again, once you break the gate, because there are living, real forces there we're fighting. This is a flood over a dam that breaks. Then it flows easy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. These demons besought him. Michael said when he wrestled for the body of Moses, "The Lord rebuke you." These demons knew if he ordered them to the abyss, they went. How come he hasn't done it for now? Well, I get hints, but I don't know. This I know. They are real. Now, you can go back to Daniel with that New Testament background, and you see the picture we've already preached on. Daniel praying for an answer. God, will you keep your word that Jeremiah gave us, that we will only be 70 years in bondage here? An angel comes to bring the answer to that prayer. 3 weeks, he is fought by the prince of Persia, not an earthly king, but the evil prince that had power to give power from the devil to that earthly king. Michael had to help him. Michael's over there fighting these demons, the troops of the prince of Persia, the evil beast behind the kingdom of Persia. That angel, after 21 days, brings the answer, not only to the 70 years, but 70 weeks of years, which is the history of, to Daniel, the angel speaking, thy people, Israel, and thy city, Jerusalem, even though he's over in Babylon. Now he says, I'm going back. I will engage again in the contest with the prince of Persia. And when I leave, lo, the prince of Grecia comes. He's not talking about Alexander the Great. He's talking about the evil prince that will give superhuman abilities. As they appear moving across the ground, as though they're not touching the ground in the speed of movement, in another prophecy of Daniel sees it. There's an evil prince. Swish, swish, swish. Back to Revelations. Where was I? The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That beast that was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, is not Antichrist, and is not the earthly kingdom. The vehicle for this beast will be Antichrist and will be his kingdom. But the last world kingdom doesn't come out of the bottomless pit. Antichrist doesn't come out of the bottomless pit. Don't look for somebody to be shot in the head and be judged dead by a doctor and come alive and say, oh, here's the Antichrist. He's got to be in the bottomless pit. Let me tell you something. I heard him saying immediately in Chicago, the minute they shot Kennedy until the news came he was dead, first things and preachers were saying, you suppose he'll be the one that was and is not and is again, wounded in the head? Even John F. Kennedy with all his millions couldn't have lasted down the bottomless pit with these monsters flying around. This beast comes out of the bottomless pit. The abyss. This beast is where, in this verse, is where those other demons that were in that Gadarene demon didn't want to go. This beast comes out of the place where they begged Jesus not to send them. Who is he? He's a demon. He is the prince of Grecia that was
he gave power to Alexander and his generals to come and conquer the Medo-Persian Empire after the prince of Persia was defeated by the angel that came to Daniel? He was. He is not. Why not? Because John's writing on the Isle of Patmos, and the prince of Rome is ruling. And the prince of Grecia had been conquered and is no more. Where is he? He's where he's going to come from. He's in the abyss, locked there, put back in that pit, sent where those demons that begged Jesus at Gadarene not to go. He was sent there. He was as he ruled Greece. He is not in John's time. But he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. He'll come forth again in the last day to empower Antichrist and to empower the final kingdom. That's why I say Antichrist will come out of the Grecian portion of the old Roman Empire. And not necessarily will he as an individual come out of the Grecian portion. He will uproot three kings of the old Roman Empire, and they then, the balance of them, will give to him power, and Antichrist's kingdom will be formed. And he'll be empowered with the demon prince of Grecia, as Cyrus of Medo-Persia was empowered with the prince of Persia. He was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was when he ruled Greece and is not, because Rome was ruling while John was writing this, and yet is, because he's going to be turned loose again. And here is the mind that hath, which hath wisdom. Now we get to my first question. What are the seven heads and the ten horns? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. What five kings have oppressed Israel? What kingdoms had already oppressed Israel and had fallen? Egypt was the first. Assyria, that took the northern tribes, was the second. Babylon was the third. Medo-Persia was the fourth. Greece was the fifth. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. That's the sixth. The Roman Empire. The other's not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. What's that seventh one? The ten kingdoms. The ten toes. Now, Daniel's visions start with Nebuchadnezzar. The third kingdom. Two had already gone by when Nebuchadnezzar was typified as the head of gold, the Grecian Empire coming next, the silver, or rather the Medo-Persian, and then the brass of the Grecian, and then the legs of iron, the Roman, then the ten toes reconstituted. Two had gone by. The image of Nebuchadnezzar picks up the other five. The Egyptian and the Assyrian were gone. The Nebuchadnezzar Empire begins the image of Nebuchadnezzar, which are the final five of the seven.
This is the end of Side 1. For the rest of the message, please turn tape over to Side 2. Thank you.